Book of Ezekiel. Now let me say a word about Daniel. We got to Daniel 9 verse 24 where it started in the 70 years prophecy. And I made a statement that that's a key to, if you can get that, it'll probably help you understand the rest of the prophecy concerning the end time. And I wanted to go into that tonight, thought I was anyway. And somehow I just got the reading and got this on my mind and even tried to rest a little bit this afternoon. Couldn't get to rest because I was thinking about this scripture right here. And I wanted to share this with you. And I pray God would help us. I don't have a polished message. I just got a thought. I want to share with you that God put on my heart. And I pray that God will use it for his glory. And that he tonight will challenge our hearts and touch us. And then you that are unsaved, that God speak to your heart about being saved. And anybody that's out of the will of God, God deal with and would help them. And then, too, I think tonight would kind of follow up on Sunday and what went on here Sunday. I praise God. By the way, I praise God for the preaching Sunday. I thank God for Brother Tingen and the preaching that he did, the challenge that he gave from the Word of God, and challenged my heart and stirred my life. I'm not sure everyone understands faith promise concept, and I may tonight illustrate that a little bit. But and I want you to know that missions is not just about money. Missions is about people going to mission field, getting people saved. That's what missions is about. And the mission card, that faith promise card we passed out, I probably shouldn't even try to take that up on Sunday night, giving people time enough to pray about it and think about it and let God do what he wanted to do. And so anybody that felt rushed about that, just you and God work that out. And if you didn't get anything done, you and God still work it out. That's between you and God. And we do that to try to challenge folk, and I'm going to illustrate why. And we don't always do that. Haven't done it in a long time, but we did that Sunday. But I don't think some people understood it nor knew what to do with it. And we certainly, let me say this without any hesitation, we don't bill people. We don't. Fact is, what you do is between you and God. One day you're going to have to face God and answer to him. It's not me, not Brother Tingen, it's not the church. As such, it is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He's Lord, and everything we have, he gives to us. And fact is, we wouldn't have anything if he didn't give it to us. And it's all his, and it all belongs to him. And we're just stewards of what he lets us go through our hands. And so I pray that God would help us tonight. But I just something I never, I don't know why. Well, I do too. God, the Holy Ghost did. Amen. Put it on my heart, and I just want to share that. And I will be, I think, brief tonight and share this with you. And I want to say a word about last night. Brother Haslip preaching, he had a message and called it this, leaving full, coming back empty. And what a message. And I praise God. In fact, it makes me want to preach it, just to hear him preach it. But I'm not going to preach that tonight. But he talked about people quitting, people giving up, even sitting on the pew, quitting while they're on the pew. And maybe on the pew, but they're not there. I never had thought about that. They're there, but not there. And that struck a note in my heart. Amen. I look Sunday morning, well, this Wednesday night, I talk about Sunday morning crowd. And Sunday morning, and you're looking around and you wonder, are they there or not there? You know, physically their shell is there, but are they there? And I think you know what I'm saying. And so, I want you here tonight. That's what I'm trying to get at. I just want you here. I want you to hear what I got to say. May not be much, but it'll be from the Word of God. And there won't be no great message of any kind that people will rave about, but it'll be something from God's Word that I pray God will speak to our hearts and help us. Something that's on my heart, I'm going to try to share my heart with you. And God touched my heart and tore me up last night. So I'm just glad what God did in my own life and praying that God will help you. And he didn't preach on this line. It's something God just gave me. And so you listen to what God has to say. Let's stand, please. I told you Ezekiel 33, didn't I? I tell you what chapter? 33. I just told you Ezekiel. Well, if you found Ezekiel, find chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter number 33. And we're going to start reading at verse number 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at our mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, he's not talking about soul salvation. He's talking about being responsible for that person. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And so we'll stop reading there and bow our heads for a word of prayer. We'll try to share a few words with you. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit. I thank you tonight, God, we can come together and the choir sing and Sister Robin sing. And Lord, we think about you paying the price for us at Calvary. And surely, Lord, we want to bow our worthy heads and say thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the shedding of blood. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you to God you conquered death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus walked out victorious. And now the intercessor for us at the right hand of the Father. I praise your holy name. And I ask you tonight, God, you bless in revival there at Skull Shoals, not only there. Everywhere where they're in revival, where the word of God being preached, people being challenged. I pray for revival in our churches. I pray for revival in our individual lives. I pray you to help us, stir us up. And God, help us in these last days that we may have a greater burden for souls and have that desire to win people and try to show them the way to Jesus and that they may be saved and born in the family of God. I pray, God, encourage the hearts of our people tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd help all of us. Lord, we praise your name and give you glory and thanks for all that you've done and are doing and shall do. I pray you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. I plead the blood. I claim Jesus tonight. And thank you, God, for that divine touch. And you know tonight how much I need you, Lord. I need your help in speaking in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In this simple thought, God's will, man's work, man's will, God's work. And I want to deal with that just for a few minutes. That's an inexhaustible subject in itself, but I looked at that and it just dawned on me, that thought came to me, and I began to think about it and said, I see God's will, I see man's work, I see man's will and God's work, and I'm glad God does his, we do ours. Amen. Now you mentioned work, and around us Baptists sometimes that makes us nervous, you know. We're saved by grace through faith, not works. We know that. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is not what I'm talking about. I will plug this in right here because you know me well enough to know that when I get up to preach, I'm going to say something about being saved. I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way there is to heaven. You must be born again. You don't get to heaven any other way. It's just by being saved. And if you ever get saved, you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And God will do something in your heart that will change you and birth you in the family of God. It will not make his flesh perfect, and it never will be perfect in this life. And you can rest assured of that. But it will change you on the inside and give you a new want-to-er. Amen. And a new desire in your heart to live for God, serve God, want to serve God, want to work for God, want to do things for God, and want to please God. Now, the flesh will rebel against that, And the flesh may rear up its ugly head and say, I don't want to do that. But we need to listen to what God has to say and let God speak to our hearts. Now, God's will here, I want you to see this. In verse number 7, he's talking to Ezekiel as a watchman, said, I've set you so. And he says, I say unto the wicked, verse number 8, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I acquire at thine hand. God's will is that we that are saved warn those that are unsaved about judgment. Amen. About what it's like to be lost without God. You and I that are saved, we know that if people don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. We know that beyond a doubt. God's word makes that plain. That being so, then you and I have responsibility to tell. It's God's will that we do that. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that not so? That's what Brother Gary was trying to get across to us Sunday and did it well. It's our responsibility to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he and Brother Jeff were in a theological discussion. I walked by their office yesterday, and I stopped just a minute to talk to them. And what they were discussing, I told them to work it out, and I went on. But anyway, I didn't try to get him give them answer for that theological discussion they were having. But we were talking about the fact that bottom line of it is people are lost and going to hell. And every generation has responsibility to that generation to tell that generation about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not true? We are responsible to tell our generation and the generation following us. I thought about that after I walked away. And we're not responsible for our generation. That generation following after us, we are responsible to make sure that they get the message so they can take it to their generation and get it to the next generation. If Jesus doesn't come, now rest assured, Jesus is coming back. He's going to rapture us out of here and take us home to heaven. But until he does, we need to be busy about what God said for us to do. And you cannot spell gospel without the letters G-O. It's go. And so we must go. I realize I can't go everywhere. I pastor here. God put me here. I can't go to Mexico. I can't go into Russia. I can't go into China. But I can help somebody else go, and I can pray for them. I can encourage them and try to help them, and I can financially help them what God blesses me with to do so. Amen? Y'all still with me on that? Amen. All right, now, but here it's God's will. Look at verse number 11. And saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have no pleasure. Some people act like it's a pleasure for God to cast people into hell. That's not so. It's not God's will that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says so. It said, it's not my will any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says in Hebrews 2:9 that Jesus died, tasted death for every man. That being true, then it's God's will for every man to be saved. God doesn't mean, and it doesn't please God for people to go to hell. They go to hell because they reject the only way there is to heaven. But it's not God's will for them to go to hell. And that person out there is lost tonight. That's rejecting God, turning his back on God, out in the world of sin. God loves him or her and cares and wants to see them saved. But his will is for us that we may carry the gospel to them and tell them that Jesus saves and that Jesus is the way. Amen. That is God's will. Now man's work. Man's work, I just got through saying it, is for us to take that message and carry it. Jesus said, the word of God says here in verse 8, that his blood will he require at our hand if we don't do what he said for us to do. And I got to thinking about that. I realize the fact that I cannot make people get saved. You cannot make people get saved. The missionary cannot make people get saved. We're getting that part of it later. That's God's work. But we are responsible to carry the gospel so that they hear that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer and that they know the way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You've heard me quote that. A million times, a thousand times. I don't know how many times. But it's still true. Jesus is the only way there is to heaven. And you and I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt we know. If you're not persuaded of that, I would appreciate if you come to me after church and talk with me a few minutes. I'd like to take the word of God and show you what God says. Because Jesus Christ is the way. Ain't no other way to heaven. and you can try to make up some other way, and you can try to say this other way, but there is but one way. And I realize people say you're narrow-minded, you don't have any compassion, and you no, I think I am anyway. I want to be full of compassion. I have a heart for people. I want to see people get saved. And they certain people that break my heart, I think about them because I want to see them saved so bad. And I want see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see them in church. I look for them to be in church. And if I'm not mistaken, Brother Hazel probably preached Monday night from what I gather, what they said last night. He must have preached on coming to church with expectation. And so I expect to see those people here. I'm looking for them. Amen. I'm looking to see them come. I believe with all my heart they will. One day come by the grace of God and the help of God, they'll come. And I praise God for it. Sunday I look back on, and well, I won't tell you where. But anyway, I look back in the congregation. I saw somebody I've been wanting to see come to church for a long time. I got an opportunity after church to speak to them just a minute. And they were here. And I had a phone call here the other week. I went to see somebody someplace, and I'm not going to go in detail about that. But God through that worked this out and brought them. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to see God. I want to see God do a work in their heart. I want to see God do that. I want to see God reach them. They got in church. They come to church. And one of them has come three times now. And I say, hallelujah. And raising their hand for prayer and desiring for God to help them. And long story, I'm not going to go into all that, but I tell you this tonight, that we got a great God that's able to help them if we'll only pray and ask God to do that. We have a responsibility, and their blood will be on our hands if we don't do it. Amen. And so I want to be involved in witnessing. I want to be involved in inviting. I want to be involved in praying. But I also want to be involved in giving. Now, I want to say a word about the Faith Promise card because that's new to some people. Some people have never been exposed to that. It's not a pledge. It's not something you promise me or the church you're going to do. It's something that you, between you and God, something you take and pray about. And if whether you drop a card in or don't drop a card in, it's still between you and God what you do. There's a little fella walked up to me tonight before I came in the building and handed me a card and said, preacher, can I give this to you now? And he put down something that he wanted to give. And I don't know how he's going to get it, but he'll get it. And he's trusting God for that. But I wanted to illustrate this to you tonight. And when we preach on missions and giving, it makes no difference whether you have a faith promise card or not. It's what your heart is and what you do and what you do with it. Amen. Sometimes people get caught up in emotions and do things that they really, God not in. And so y'all always make sure, that's why I said I probably shouldn't have taken it up with a Sunday night because I didn't give people time to pray about it and say it. So I apologize for that. Amen. Your pastor, he sometimes run ahead of God a little bit. So you just forgive me and help me out here a little bit tonight. But let me illustrate the Faith Promise card. One time, I've done this two or three times, I'm not sure which. When I preached out of this portion of scripture in the Word of God, I never preached while I'm preaching tonight. Never thought the thought I thought tonight until today, really. But I've taken my hand and I put it on a piece of paper and I traced it. And then I put it in a copier and ran copies of it and passed it out to people in the congregation. I said, take that hand and write on each finger a name of somebody that you really care about, somebody that you don't want their blood on your hands, somebody that you're going to try to invite, somebody you're going to try to get to come to church, somebody that you care about. Now, that piece of paper, that hand on it, and asking you to pray about it, and you to put somebody you really care about it, that wasn't trying to put anybody on the spot. It wasn't trying to make anybody do anything. It was simply trying to help people to have a greater burden, a greater desire to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing about the Faith Promise card. It's not trying to put pressure on. It's trying to help people so they can see their need and what they can do to help in world missions. Now, having said that, that's all I'm going to say about that part of it. You give as God wants you to give. You pray and trust God. And you do whatever God says, and that's all. And obey God and let God have his way, and everything else will fall right in place, and we'll shout glory, hallelujah. But if you can give and not pray, and your giving won't do a thing, amen. Back up a minute. I'll take it anyhow. Amen. Whether you pray or don't pray, I'll take it either way. But it really needs to be given with prayer. It really needs to be given with a desire in your heart to see somebody get saved. It really needs to be given thinking about blood on my hands. And I want to do everything I can to help people get to Jesus Christ and see them come to know the Lord as their Savior. Amen. And so our work is, God said for us to go. Now, God, have you ever thought about this? God could have sent angels down to preach the gospel. He could have sent angels down to go witness. He could have sent Gabriel or one of the other angels down here to do that. But he chose that used redeemed man to tell other unsaved man. Somebody said it's like this. He sends beggars to tell beggars where bread is. I say amen. I'm glad a beggar one day found where bread was, came and told this beggar where bread was so I could get some bread. Amen. Aren't you glad somebody came somewhere and told you about it? Our work is try to pray for, try to have a, we need to have a love for. And of course, and by the way, the greatest need is not the love for the sinner and the desire for them to be saved, but the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus first and love him right, you'll love sinners right. If you love Jesus right, love God right, you'll love to see him get saved. You'll have a desire to get involved in the work that God said for us to do. Amen. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about going. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about inviting. I'm talking about coming to church with expectation of what God's going to do. Amen. Coming in excited, coming in looking, coming in expecting God to do something for us. And so here we're looking at this. God's will is for us to go tell them, else their blood be on our hands. Our work is to go tell them. Now, our will is that we please him. It ought to be that way. And we don't want blood on our hands. Judgment seat of Christ. I don't want blood dripping off my hands. I don't want to stand there and the Lord Jesus look at me and say, why didn't you do what I laid on your heart and kept that person out of hell? Why didn't you get involved? Why didn't you pray more? Why or give or go or whatever it is? And we will meet God one day. We will give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want the blood dripping off. That's my will. My will, then the will of the unsaved was to get saved. And notice what Jesus said. Or the Lord said, I say Jesus said, Jesus did say it. He's God, so he said it. And there in verse number 11, none his will any that they perish. He said he wanted them to repent. And so my will ought to be submitted to his will. If it's his will that none perish, it ought to be my will that none perish. Amen. My will is to be broken to his will. Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. And so there in the garden, it was done. Amen. And remember, we need to have our wills broken to the will of God. And sometimes it'll take you out of your way. Sometimes it'll cost you something. Sometimes I'm talking about time or effort or prayer or lose sleep or weep or whatever. But you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? We read it often in the Bible. And that man fell among thieves, going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, and they beat him up, stripped him, left him half dead, and left him there, and there he lay. The priest went by, looked at him, went by on the other side of the road, and left him laying where he was. Then a Levite come by, he went over where he was, looked at him, and walked over on the other side, and went on his way, left him where he was. But that Samaritan came by, that half-Jew, and they were despised by the Jews. There was a Jewish man laying over there, but he loved him anyhow. And he went to him. Of course, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus picking us up. But he went to him and picked him up and washed him up and put him on his own donkey, took him to the inn, said, take care of him, and I'll pay you what I owe you when I come back. If I owe you anything I hadn't already given you. That's what Jesus did for us. But I'm saying tonight, you and I have a responsibility to those laying in the ditch. We have a responsibility to those that need some help, amen, to help them get up out of the ditch and get them to where they can get some help, and we have that's our responsibility, but it's our will. If our will's not broken to his will, we'll never do that. You know what our will will be doing if we're not broken to his will? Our will be doing whatever it is we want. We'll be concerned about our wants, our desires, and our efforts will be toward ourselves and not toward others, and so our will needs to be broken to his will. And Jesus said, not my will, thy will be done. Let me give you the last thing and I close. The work of God is that he does the saving. He does the saving. It is not me. It is not any preacher. It's not any organization. It's not any mission board. It's not any missionary. It's not a preacher. It's none of that. It's not any individual. It's God that does the saving. And we do our part, but God does the work of saving and convicting and drawing and doing the rebirthing in the family of God. I've talked people into making professions. I regret that, but God knows my heart. I had a right motive in my heart trying to do that. And you can take people and back them in a corner, some people. I used to sell insurance. Amen. Talk people into taking things whether they need it or not. Amen. Well, I didn't do much of that because it didn't last too long. Well, I made Rookie of the Year first year, but that wasn't, I just full of zeal after that. I got to think about that thing. I didn't think about it. It just wasn't so easy. I got everybody I knew. Amen. Everybody felt sorry for me. They didn't mind. You can get people feel sorry for you and say, well, he wants a profession. Let's get it. Let's get this profession and let's go. You know, but that's not the way it works. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God's will, man's work. Man's will, God's work. How you doing tonight? Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have to stand and preach the word of God. I pray you speak to our hearts. And Father, help all of us that we remember the fact that we are responsible to carry the gospel to our generation and the generation that's coming up. Help us, Father, do thy will, not ours, but thine be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Won't you stand to your feet, please?